Excellent. So before we start, let's introduce ourselves. Can you tell me your name, how old you are? Adults, you can just be approximate if you would rather. And your favourite kind of egg.
My name's Alfie. I'm 10 and my favourite egg is a chicken egg because I like the chicks inside of it. Nice.
My name's Aneku. I am 9 years old and my favourite eggs are Malteser filled eggs.
Hi, my name is Omo. In my mid-30s. I don't have a favourite egg, unfortunately. But I just go with anything the kids go, so maybe that might be one for me.
Morning, my name is Jordan, 28 years old, and my favourite egg is lint.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that was that a controversial ooh, or was that a yes? Hands up for lint. Good, very good show of hands, and I'm not going to ask who doesn't, so...
Excellent. Okay, so it's Palm Sunday today, so I'm going to read this morning from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11, and I'm going to read from the Message version, and if it's all right with you guys, as we read, I'm going to throw some questions out to you, open the mic up for a bit of a discussion as we read through this together. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. When they neared Jerusalem, having arrived at Bethphage on Mount Olives, Jesus sent two disciples with these instructions. Go over to the village across from you. You'll find a donkey tethered there, her colt with her. Untie her and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, the master needs them. He will send them with you. This is the full story of what was sketched earlier by the prophet. Tell Zion's daughter, look, your king's on his way, poised and ready, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, foal of a pack animal. So my first question to you guys is, why is it important that Jesus enter Jerusalem on a donkey and not on another animal? Alfie, you look like you've got an answer for this.
It's important because of two things. Number one is because... Jesus was coming on a donkey to fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament. And number two, a donkey is a symbol of service, humility, suffering and peace.
Excellent. You've done your research. Do you want to pass the mic along for me?
I feel like it's important because Jesus wasn't a really proud and he didn't... He wasn't like the kings you see now, and I feel like he used the donkey to show his service and how humble he is, because a donkey you won't really see as a more majestic animal, so I think that shows that he was a humble man and not very proud.
I think the kids have really said a lot, yeah, so I don't think I have anything to say. They've actually said it. So it was a prophecy that he was fulfilling, and which was exactly as we have learned in Isaiah. And it's very important to know that everything that we're learning now, it has been prophesied. And I think that's why we believe as Christians that what we are doing is real and we are actually on the right path. Yeah. So I think that's just the summary of what happened there.
Yeah, nothing too much more to add. All really great answers, but it's just a powerful reminder that the truth of Scripture, that these prophecies were written centuries, hundreds of years before Jesus even got there. So to see prophecy being fulfilled before the people's very eyes is incredible. It just reminds me of like the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So yeah.
Excellent. Okay, let's carry on. So the disciples went and did exactly what Jesus had told them to do. They led the donkey and colt out, laid some of their clothes on them, and Jesus mounted. Nearly all the people in the crowd threw their garments down on the road, giving him a royal welcome. Others cut branches from the trees and threw them down as a welcome mat. Crowds went ahead and crowds followed, all of them calling out, "Hosanna to David's son! Blessed is he who comes in God's name! Hosanna in the highest!" So, my next question for you is, Who is someone that you would be so excited to see right now, and how would you react if they walk through that door? Go on, Alfie.
My pet dog, because she's dead, and I'll be so excited because I really miss her.
What would you do, Alfie, if your pet dog came bounding in through the door? How would you react?
I would be super excited and just go to her and go and walk her.
Excellent.
Down Rivington.
I don't really have a favourite celebrity. So let's say it was someone really special, maybe Ariana Grande, and she walked through the door, and I really liked her. I'll be really excited, and I'll jump about, and I'll be full of joy, and I'll be really lively.
I think it would be my mom, because I've lost her, well, a couple of years now, so if she comes through the door, I'll just be in tears, and I'll just hold her and I will let her go.
Someone I'm sure we'll all agree on, I would love to see Sir Alex Ferguson come through.
And what would you do, Jordan, if he walked through the door?
Oh, if he walked through the door, I'd
how would you greet him?
A strong handshake. And I'd actually quite like to have a bit of a Q&A. Just tell me some of your stories. How did you get, I'd just be intrigued to hear from him, so yeah.
Okay, excellent. So another question for you. Why do you think that people responded to Jesus with such enthusiasm and excitement? Go for it.
Because Jesus fulfilled the prophecy, and the people in there thought that Jesus was going to save them from the Romans.
I think they were really happy, and they celebrated a lot because in the prophets explained that Jesus would do many miracles and will be the Messiah and come. So now they've heard about him, they see this man walking through Jerusalem, they'll be screaming and shouting in a lot of praise.
I think they've gotten it right. Sometimes I don't know what to really add, but I think obviously Jesus was different from anyone they had met. He had been doing miracles, he had been giving them food, and it was just a beautiful thing knowing that this was the same person that has been prophesied. So I guess they were really excited and understanding that a king or a savior has come for them to take them to the point where they should be with God. So I guess that was what added to all their excitement.
Yeah, nothing too much to add on the back of that, but it's just, it's always amazing to see answer to prayer, which is what the people have been praying for. I know last year me and Michaela have been praying for someone in our world, and to see God answering that prayer in a powerful way was just unbelievable. So just to think back to the story, to see these Israelites have been praying, this is hundreds of years of prayer, praying for salvation, praying for the Messiah, and to see that coming to pass, you'd be thrilled, you'd be over the moon, and that's the expression of what we're seeing there. Yeah.
Excellent, okay. So final bit of this story. As he made his entrance into Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken. Unnerved, people were asking, what's going on here? Who's this? Why do you think it says that the whole city was shaken? Go for it.
Because the whole city was shaken with excitement because, again, the prophecy was filled. And they were like, it's true, because they made a prophecy of a king coming on a donkey to save them from the Romans.
I think it's to indicate the fact that everyone was screaming and shouting and it was really loud, and it seems as if the city was shaking because everyone was screaming and shouting and singing, so that's why they said the city was shaking.
Yeah, I used to think the old those days were quite different from what we have now. The cities were built in a way that everyone kind of get messages sent from one person to the next. So you can imagine how one person's excitement, it's almost like gossip, and it just keeps passing, and everyone kind of gets the message, and everyone is drawn in, unlike now where sometimes before, when something happens, it takes a while to spread around. But then it was just like a whirlwind. So one person hears it, and it just keeps spreading, and you're telling the next neighbor, and everyone is questioning, and everyone just gets into the mood, and they are all excited. So I can imagine it happening like that, and everyone gathering and coming to the place where the whole news started from. So I think it was that kind of community that they had then, and that was what led to the excitement spreading so quickly.
Yeah, the whole city was shaking. I think we see similar wording in Matthew chapter 2 as well, when Jesus is born and the wise men go to Herod and say, the king is here. And Herod's fuming, and we see similar words, the whole city was shaking. So to see Jesus again approaching Jerusalem shaken, kind of indicates that there's a split. People were happy. Obviously, the Messiah's coming, but then obviously there's those that weren't so happy about that. And if you just read a few verses on, there's we see Jesus goes into the temple and he starts doing miracles. People are experiencing miracles because Jesus is in town. And then the Pharisees are, it says they're indignant because obviously he's bringing in a kingdom that's different to what they want. And just because we've already had good answers and there's not too much to add, just I don't want to over spiritualize this, but isn't it? I feel like it's the same in our lives, or in whenever God's doing something at work, there's always a shaking. There's people who are willing to embrace him, willing to embrace what God's doing and get on board with it, and there's always those that will be against it. And I suppose that's always the question we have to ask in our own lives, is am I willing to crown King Jesus and make him king of our life, or are we on those that are saying, no, I'm going to hold on to my will and my way, and I want to crucify him? Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So this passage finishes. The parade crowd answered, this is the prophet Jesus, the one from Nazareth in Galilee. So my final question to you guys is, we're coming up into Easter week. Why is this such an important time for us as followers of Jesus?
Because Jesus resurrected from the cross, and it shows hope for us.
I think it's important because Jesus was crucified on the cross, so he could save our sins, and we were all cleaned. And it's a very important time because it's the day that we were able to finally live with God again without any sin. So I think it's a very important day.
As a children teacher, we've been going through a series, and thinking about it now, it's just kind of summarizes what has happened. So we started from the point when the world was beautiful and everything was beautiful until sin came and there was a keep out sign, because we couldn't get in contact with God anymore. But somehow God still wanted it to be for us to be with him. And that was why he sent he sent Moses, and he was trying to make sure we still come. But there was still a temple. Even though he was living in the temple, there were still curtains that kept us away from the most holy place. And so Easter marks the end of the barrier. So that's the point where there is no more keep out sign, there is no more curtain, there is nothing holding us or separating us from God. And Jesus is now the bridge. So he's now the one that has brought us in peace with God. So every Christian, this is our belief, and this is what we are holding on to, that we can access God directly without any barrier. And that's why we remember Easter every time, and we're celebrating Easter.
Yeah, there's a verse in John that summarizes it well. So he explains why he wrote his gospel. It says, I have wrote these things that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing in him you may have life in his name. And that's the power of Easter, is that Jesus fulfilled his promises that we, people like me, have messed up, people like you, we can cross over from death to life. We can have new birth, new life in Christ, that he doesn't just forgive us of our sins, but he also calls us sons and daughters of God. And so it's no wonder it's called good news. And just, I always think of people that are being persecuted for the faith all over the world, that this the hope of resurrection, that he's given us full life here, but also in the life that is to come forever and ever. That is such a powerful truth that we can hold on to as Christians, that keeps us going.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. Let's give them all a massive round of applause, and you can take your seats. So a few weeks ago at our getaway service, we introduced you to some of our young people doing what we call an own it. So that's when we give them a few minutes just to share something that they feel that God's put on their heart. So we thought we'd treat you to another one this week. So please welcome Nardos.
Good morning, everyone. Today I'll be talking about how we can both refuse and accept, and how both are very important in our faith. So as Christians, we believe in Jesus. We believe he had a purpose. In Matthew 20, verse 28, it says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." I believe with all my heart that Jesus did that greater than anyone ever could. He served, he walked with people, he walked with the lost and the least, healed blind, fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I think nothing that he's done could be overlooked. And he suffered an unimaginably painful death on the cross. One question I've always asked myself was, what am I doing to fulfill my purpose? Am I being obedient to what God calls me to do? And have I given God his rightful throne at the center of my life? To be completely honest, these were more doubts than questions. Around this time last year, I didn't believe that I could do the things that God had called me to do. I felt incompetent and unworthy. For a period of time, my prayers consisted of me telling God that I didn't think I was capable, that he could give whatever he needed me to do to someone else more willing, to someone more prepared for it. And one Friday night at youth, we were in life groups and we were asked a question on who inspires us in our faith. And a lot of my friends said me. And at that moment, I just felt completely confused and I felt relieved. I felt that God had actually been working in me. But because I was so afraid and so fearful, I had doubted myself. I doubted that he was capable of doing anything. He's more than able, whether it's with us or without us. He still cares. He still loves us. And with accepting God, sometimes comes refusing worldly things. We need to be more open to saying no to what we know God does not call us to do. The world will drag us into believing a lot of things. It places God in a box where it makes him seem somewhat limitful, like he has limits. He's a limitless God. His potential is unmatched and he can do anything he needs to. So today I want to give us that challenge that wherever we go now, knowing that accepting Jesus and giving him that place in our lives mean that we can refuse all of these things. We need to refuse to be held captive because Jesus came down and he set us free. We need to refuse to have our potential locked in a box that God has already given us the keys to unlock. We need to refuse to do all those things. We need to refuse every lie that the devil tells us, every thought that comes into our mind telling us we're incapable or incompetent. We need to be able to do all these things if we're going to truly accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. A savior is someone, defined in the dictionary, who comes to set free a captive or return lost property. Now, lost property is not to say that we're just puppets on a string. God gave us free will. He gave us that choice to love him back the way that he's come to love us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have needed Jesus to come and die on that cross. We have these choices that we make every day. We have to live that life, but we choose to live that life. So simply from the way that we speak to the way that we walk and talk with people, we need to have that understanding in us that God is always working. Don't ever think you're unable to do what he's called you to do, because he's more than able. And in doing that, we set God free in our lives. We let his spirit flow throughout us, so we're able to do all of those things that he's called us to do. We've all got the keys. Everyone in this room is not here by flaw or by accident. He's placed us here for a purpose, and every single one of you have something on your hearts. And whether it's revealed to you now or later on in life, we just need to be reminded that saying no to everything we know is not good for us just allows us to grow stronger in our faith and keep on our walk with God.